Man, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse I want to focus on is verse number 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. And then the last phrase is the title of my sermon, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. I want to talk about people tonight who despise those who are good. Now, if you would, flip over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and while you're turning there, let me mention to you that in Titus chapter 1, where it gives the qualifications for the pastor, one of the qualifications for the pastor is that he be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, etc. And so one of the qualifications for the pastor is that he be a lover of good men. Isn't that the exact opposite of being a despiser of those that are good?
Right.
One of them loves good people. The other one despises those that are good. Now, why would anyone despise someone for being good? You'd think that you would despise people because they're bad people, right? But the Bible talks about people who are despisers of those that are good. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible reads, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Don't be surprised if people that hate you, because wicked people despise those who are good. That's what the Bible tells us was the issue between Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. That's what made him so mad. If you would, flip over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, this is right after the famous passage in John 3:16 with the most famous verse in the Bible, the best salvation verse in the Bible. My favorite verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Just doesn't get any better than that, does it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But look at verse number 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth truth, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God." So the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because they don't like being reproved. They don't like someone telling them, "You're wrong. You've done wrong." Now, here's the thing. Even if I don't say you're wrong, just by living a good life, my life is basically just this speech telling you you're wrong, in a sense. You know, if you think about Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house," right? And it says that by doing that, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It's sort of like if the world's being graded on a curve, if you're that kid who gets an A on the test, does everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, if it's graded on a curve, if everybody gets a C, then everybody gets an A. But there's that one kid who actually studied, who actually learned the material. He gets an A on the test, then the curve becomes no curve at all, right? And so, you know, when we were kids, you loved it to be graded on a curve because there were certain tests where no one would get an A. I remember one time I was in science class in junior high, and the junior high teacher just made this incredibly hard test. It was just ridiculous. We had to like memorize every scientific discovery for the last 400 years, what year it happened, who discovered it, and what they discovered. And the test was a blank piece of paper. Produce the material. I'm not kidding. This was literally a test. You just wrote, you just made a list of years, list of guys, list of discoveries, and it was a lot of items on that list. Everyone failed. Literally, everyone failed. And I remember the teacher coming in, Mrs. Kahn. I think she's related to Genghis Khan. But anyway, Mrs. Khan, she stood up and she was like yelling at us. And she's like, "You guys didn't learn this." And she said, "You think I'm going to grade on a curve? I'm not." And she said, whatever grade you got on this test stands. And she said, we're going to take the same test next Friday. And she said, and then we're going to average the two together, and that's your score. So basically, I think on the first test, I got like a 40 or 50 or something, which was one of the better scores, by the way, because, you know, no one, because we were all talking about, like, come on, she's not really going to hold us to this. You know, we called her bluff, and you know what? We lost, all right? So then it was like, then we basically, everybody had to get like 100 on the second test just in order to get like a C. So we memorized, but you know what? I memorized every single guy. I could tell you about Alessandro Volta. You know, I could tell you about, you know, these guys and the discoveries that they made. But you know what? Here's the thing about it. God's not grading on a curve, okay? You've sinned, you've come short of the glory of God. But even though God's not grading on a curve, and even if Mrs. Khan is not grading on a curve, have you ever noticed how people would still get mad at the guy who got an A when they got a C? Even if it's not being graded on a curve. Even if it doesn't affect them at all. It's like, oh, of course you got an A. Blah. Why? It's despising those that are good. And so God is telling us here that wicked people, man, they're just irritated by the light. They're irritated by the children of light. They're irritated by good people. They're irritated by Abel and Jesus and everybody else. Why? Because you know what it does? It's just a silent reproof of their wickedness. You know, when they get in the presence of good, it makes them feel bad about themselves. It shines the light on. They don't go to the light because they don't want their deeds to be reproved, either verbally reproved or even just a silent reproof of someone just living a godly life. You know, living a godly life, listen to me now, living a godly life will irritate wicked people. Even if you don't say a word. Even if you just go to your job and just work hard and you don't drink and you don't chew and you don't go with girls who do. And you know what? You could do all the right things and not say anything, and people are going to be irritated. You call you goody two shoes and holy Joe and all these different things because they don't like it. It makes them mad. Have you noticed how mad some people get when you're soul winning? You just like walk up. You haven't even said a word. Just like, hi, I'm ready. It's just like, you know, they're mad before you've even said anything. Because it's like, how dare you remind me that Jesus Christ exists? Right. How dare you remind me that there's a God? How dare you remind me that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment? Amen. And so that's what bothers them so much. They're despisers of those who are good. It's the same phenomenon that started in school with you're mad at the guy who gets an A on the test, right? Or at work, you're mad at the guy who gets a promotion. He got the raise. He got the corner office. You know, he got the project or whatever. Where did I have you turn? Let's go to Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5. Here's a perfect example of this. And while you're turning there, Amos chapter 5 verse 10 says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. You know, people are going to hate those that are good. Wicked people despise those that are good. Now, Mordecai is a great example of a good person who was despised by a wicked person, Haman. So Haman is a wicked person. He pictures the Antichrist. And in Esther chapter 5, verse 9, it says, then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. I mean, he's why is he mad at him? Because he sits there and does nothing. What's Mordecai doing to make Haman so mad? Is Mordecai getting up and preaching a sermon directed at Haman? Is Mordecai rebuking him and saying, you're wicked, you know, you need to melt like a snail? No, all Mordecai is doing is just sitting there. He's just sitting there minding his own business, and Haman is indignant by this. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. Now, wait till you see how Haman is. Tell me if this is the kind of guy you like to hang out with. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. You ever been around people like that? Hey, everybody, come over to my house so I can tell you how great I am. I can tell you how great I am at my job. I can tell you about all the money I have. I can tell you about all my achievements. I can just praise myself. And look, I've been around people like that just they boast about themselves. And it's embarrassing. Like, you're embarrassed for them because it's so embarrassed. Basically, this is like Donald Trump inviting you over. You know, You know, like, you know, I pretty much know more about fill in the blank than anybody. Has anybody ever seen that montage where he says that he knows more about like every subject on the planet than anyone? He literally said, I know more about nuclear power plants than anyone.
That was literally on the list. I think I got it from your Facebook feed.
But you know, but he said like, I know more about, and he said like 30 different things. So Haman here, he's just sitting here just bragging about his achievements, how good he is at business, how he's just a winner all the time, and all this stuff. He's bragging. And people who are like that, you know, that's a bad attribute to be a braggart like that. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this, and I think about this verse so often, because this is human nature in a nutshell right here. Yet all this availeth me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. That's a pretty amazing statement. I mean, you have all the money, you've got 10 sons, you've got the wife, the kids, the house, the prestige, you're famous. You're literally the second in command in the most powerful empire in the world. And you know what that's, you know what that does for you? You say it does nothing. That avails me nothing. I don't even care about any of that because the only thing I care about is just Mordecai. Is that weird or what? I mean, look, if you had all that money and power and prestige, are you going to sit around worrying about some Jew in the gate? Is that what you're going to sit around worrying about? It makes no sense, does it? But you know what? It's exactly how human nature is. Because we have so many blessings in our lives. Think about how many good things we have in our life. And this is going great. This is going great. This is going great. But it's just that one thing that's going bad. And you're going to pout and be upset, angry, because of one person that bothers you. Look, I got some people that bother me, but you know what? I'm not going to let it ruin my day.
Yeah, right, good.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know what? If somebody's a pain in the neck, they're not going to ruin my day. Somebody wants to criticize me, attack me, maybe ignore me, snub me, be rude to me. You know what? I just have so many blessings. I have so many good things going for me in life. I have so many true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and things of good report to think about. I'm not even going to spend any time thinking about the bad things. Who cares? You know, think about the good food that we eat. Think about the nice houses that we live in. Think about the beautiful city that we live in. Yeah. Think about the freedoms that we have. Okay? And you know, people are mad about a lack of freedom right now and restricted movements and everything like that. But you know what? There's still a lot of people who have less freedom than we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when we're on lockdown, we're still pretty free.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, compared to a lot of people in this world. So the point is, you know, there's always something that's going to be wrong with your life. 100% of the time, there's something wrong with my life. 100% of the time. I guarantee you that there's, well, okay, I'm not going to guarantee this. But I would venture to guess that there's not a single person in this room right now that would just say, like, everything is perfect in my life. I am living the dream. It is perfect. Now, maybe a kid. But even then, they'd probably be like, no, I just want to grow up.
Right?
That, right?
Yeah.
Kids, just, they just want to grow up. So nobody would just be like, freeze this moment. This is the perfect life. Everybody's got something. Maybe it's a financial issue, a relationship issue, a health issue, social problems, church problems, or, you know, you just the COVID-19 has got you down or whatever. I mean, look, everybody's always got something to complain about, don't they? Everybody's, and I'm saying everybody's always got something legitimately wrong with their life. But you know what? Are you going to just fixate on that Mordecai in your life? Or are you just going to be happy with all the bounty that God's given you? Because you know what? Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He didn't say, well, God just keeps giving me everything I want. So it's just like, cool. That's not what he said. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what he said. And so, you know, don't let that one thing bother you when everything else is going so good. And if you can't think of all the good things in your life, then you know what? I'll help you, okay? And I'll tell you all the good things in your life. And I'll point out how ungrateful you are for not noticing them yourself, okay? So, you know, he's fixated on the one thing that's wrong with his life, and it's not even wrong with his life. Because it's just some guy minding his own business. But Haman is a despiser of those that are good. And it all avails me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Now, you know what? Haman could have just prospered and lived a long, happy life. But you know what he ended up doing? Destroying himself.
Right.
He ends up getting killed. And guess what? All of his 10 children, they all get killed too.
Right.
And he goes down in history as a bad person in the most read book on the planet. Right? How would you like your name to be mud in the most read book on the entire planet? Okay. By a mile. No book compares to this book for how many people read it every day. You know, tens of millions of people are getting together just in the United States alone today to talk about this book.
Amen.
And I'm probably not the only person preaching on Esther right now. There are pastors all over America rebuking Haman every Sunday for thousands of years. How would you like people to get together and have a meeting about you for literally thousands of years, like thousands of years later? It's like, all right, everybody, it's May 10th, 2020. Let's talk about what an idiot Haman was. And next Sunday, there are going to be churches all over the world talking about what an idiot Haman was. Can you imagine that? How would you like to be talked about as an idiot every week for millennia? It's a pretty interesting thought. And you know why God is subjecting him to that? Is because of the fact that he wants you to learn from his mistake. And he wants you to learn two things. Number one, don't let that one thing get you down. And number two, don't be a despiser of those that are good, or you're going to get buried. Okay? Do not despise those who are good. Now go to Proverbs chapter 17. I wrote down the wrong verse, so I'm going to have to freestyle it here. Let me see if I can find it. I believe it's at the end of Proverbs 17. No, it's not. Mayday, help! I'm looking for that verse about how the just is an abomination to the wicked and the wicked is an abomination to the just. Good night. How did I get that wrong? It's somewhere in Proverbs. 15?
Proverbs 17:15.
Oh, okay. No, I'm in 17:15, and that's the wrong verse. That's what I wrote down.
29:27.
How did we both get the wrong verse? We both got the same wrong verse. We both made the same mistake. That's so weird. All right, 29:27. Here we go. An unjust man, so this is Proverbs 29:27. Here we go. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. This is just a statement of fact. It's just saying, look, this is the way the world works. If you're upright, you're an abomination to the wicked. And if you're wicked, if you're unjust, you're an abomination to the just, right? Meaning that, you know, wicked people are disgusting to good people and good people are disgusting to wicked people. This is just a statement about life. That's just the way the world, right, wrong, doesn't matter. That's what the Bible is telling you is the situation. That an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. That's the state of things. And what does it mean when the just is an abomination to the wicked, the upright is an abomination to the wicked, is that the wicked is a despiser of him that is good. Isn't that what that means? Now, we talk about, flip over to chapter 15 of Proverbs, we talk about despisers of those that are good, and we mainly think of, you know, those who are morally good, right? You know, we're talking about Cain and Abel, we're talking about Haman and Mordecai, so we're talking about despisers of those that are good being despising the ones who are morally good. But how about despising those who are good at something? Isn't that what people tend to do also? Someone else is better at something than you and you despise them? That's wrong. Mm-hmm. Or how about despising those who are smarter than you? Let me explain something to you. I'm not the smartest person in the world, and neither are you.
Right.
And that's okay. It's okay if someone is better looking than you. There are many people who are better looking than me. There are many people who are smarter than me. There are many people who are bigger and tougher than me. There are many people who are more athletic than me. There are many people who are better at public speaking than me. There are many people who know more about me than, or they know more than me. There are people who know more about me than I do. You know, it's creepy. It's really weird. But anyway, you know, there are people who know more about nuclear power plants than I do. Donald Trump, for example. You know, I mean, Donald Trump knows more about nuclear power plants than pretty much anyone. Okay, so I'm not trying to compete with him on that. Okay, so the point is, you know, we don't have to go through life just being the best at everything. And comparing ourselves amongst ourselves is not wise. And there's a tendency to despise those who are good at something. And to be mad at them, and how dare they be better than me at something. We should actually rejoice when we find someone who's better than us at something, because we can learn from that person. We can actually observe them, learn from them, gain knowledge from them, pick their brain. Okay, now look what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:12. I really like this verse. It says, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him." But look at this last part. This is the part I like. "Neither will he go unto the wise." He doesn't want to go to the wise. Now, a smart man is going to attain unto wise counsels, right? So if you're smart, you're going to go to the wise because you want to learn more from them. You're going to say, you know what? I'm going to find somebody who knows more than I do about something and pick their brain. But the fool doesn't do that. You know what he does? He wants to surround himself with people who know less than him so that he can, you know, show them how much he knows. You know what I mean? Instead of getting around, you know, people that are good at stuff. You know, I don't know if I used this illustration before, but I remember many years ago, man, this was probably like almost a decade ago because time flies. But I remember, you know, I was doing some weightlifting. I was getting a little bit into weightlifting. And I remember I went to Brother Segura, and he was teaching me a little bit about weightlifting, and he was showing me some stuff. And here's the thing, he was better at it than I was. Okay, but I was going to him and I was asking him questions. You know, other times I went to other people, like I went to Brother Ramon about, you know, he was showing me stuff about Olympic weightlifting and different things. And I was going to people that I felt like knew something so that they could kind of show me some things and show me the ropes. And you know what, to me, that was helpful to go, instead of just like, hey, let me find the weakest person I can find, go lift with them. Get a little ego boost. You know, you get that guy who's a total weakling, and he's trying to do the bench press, he's shaking, and he can't even steady the bar, and there's not even any weight on the bar yet, you know? And the point, and here's the thing, you know, if you want to feel good about yourself, if you want to show how tough you are, that's your workout buddy. But you know, for me, I wanted to find somebody who's a little stronger, a little better, right? And basically try to go to him and get some tips, get some point. And that's a silly illustration. But let's say any area of life, right? Going unto the wise, not trying to be a big fish in a little pond, but, you know, rather getting around some people that can challenge you spiritually, getting around some people who can challenge you intellectually, getting around some people who can challenge you, you know, athletically, and you know what? You're going to improve. You're going to learn something, right? And so a wise person will attain unto wise counsels. They'll go to the people who are superior to them in some area so that they can be mentored and learn and grow and be taught. But the scorner, he doesn't want anybody to tell him he's doing it wrong. He doesn't love one that reproves him. He won't go to the wise. Look, if you've ever gone to, say, a martial arts gym, they constantly are telling you what you're doing wrong. That's how it works. Now, here's the thing. If you go to a martial arts gym and the instructor never tells you that you're doing anything wrong, you know, you'd kind of feel like you're getting ripped off and you're not getting your money's worth.
Right.
It's like, hey, why aren't you coaching me? Why aren't you training me? Why aren't you helping me? You know, if I just went and, I mean, can you imagine? You go down to the boxing gym and you're just kind of just like a toddler, just hitting the bag. You're just kind of just throwing like these kind of hammer fists at the bag, and you're just kind of throwing haymakers and everything. And what if the instructor's just like, good, looking strong today. All right. You know, that's the kind of church people are looking to go to.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
They want to go to church, and they're just like, And he's just like, oh man, good form. You're looking good, looking sharp, you know? No, you know, the real instructor is going to tell you, hey, put that chin down, right? Hey, you know, keep those punches in straight, you know, don't get all out there. Hey, they used to always tell me, you know, hey, get those chicken wings in, you know? Don't have those chicken wings out. You know, hey, they tell you, and sometimes they even just punch you in the face and say, hey, you let your guard down. I just wanted to illustrate that to you. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I prefer running now. You know? But nobody punches you in the face when you're running, you know. And if they tried to punch you in the face, you just run away. And you know, it's not a contact sport in that sense. But the point is, you know, church sometimes has to tell you to get your chicken wings in. And sometimes church even has to kind of slap you around a little when you get out of line. Okay? Because of the fact that, you know, reproof of instruction is the way of life.
Right.
Okay? But a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. He gets all mad and whatever. And here's the thing. Somebody comes to gently correct him. Somebody comes to ask him a question. Somebody comes to say something to him. Somebody comes to privately correct him. And you know what? He can't take it. Well, you know what? You're a fool. You should be open to somebody calling you out and talking to you. And not just, none of your business. Wrong.
Preach.
A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Now go to Matthew chapter 20. What is the root cause of this despising of those who are good? What's the root cause? You know, if I could sum this up in one word, I would use the word envy. Envy is the best word. And this is such a huge subject in the Bible, envy. It cannot be emphasized enough. Because envy is the motive behind so many wrong things, so many sins, you know, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And you know, even when it comes to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, why does the Bible say that they crucified him? It says that the high priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they delivered him to be crucified because of envy.
Right, that's right.
Why were the apostles persecuted in the book of Acts? The Bible says they were moved with envy. Back in Genesis, why did Joseph's brethren sell him into slavery?
Envy.
Because of envy. And why did Joseph's brethren feel that way? Because of the fact that Joseph was a good kid. Joseph was the favorite in the family. He received the coat of many colors. They didn't. Now here's the thing. When people around us, and I know this is hard because it goes against our human nature, but when people around us receive a coat of many colors, you know what we ought to do is feel good inside and think, man, I'm glad to see him succeeding. Right? Your brother, your sister, mom, dad, friends, relatives, coworkers, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we see good things happening to people around us, we ought to feel good. We ought to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And so, if you see someone at your job getting promoted and you sit there and think, oh, man, of course he gets promoted. I want to get promoted. You know what you should think? Man, that's going to be great for him. You know what that's called? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Say, hey, that's going to help him out. Man, I know he's wanted that for a long time. You know, he's been working hard, you know. God bless him. And you know what? Let's say, and look, sibling rivalry can be a thing, can it?
Yeah.
I know about siblings because I have 11 children. And when you have 11 children, it's human nature on display every day in your house. Because children are not as good at hiding their human nature as adults. You know, we adults, we do the same stupid fights that little kids do, except we're just a little more sophisticated about it. But it's the same envy. It's the same sin nature. The kids just aren't good at hiding it. So, you know, you see them and basically, you know, what if, just try this one time. Just try this. Just pick one of your kids at random, totally random, draw a name out of a hat, and just give them some special treat that you don't give to anyone else. With no explanation, and see what happens. What do you think is going to happen?
Chaos.
And here's the thing. What in the world would be wrong with doing that? Is it wrong for me as a parent to love my children and just take one of my children and say, you know what, I just want to do something special for you. Here, let me just do something good for you. Oh, oh, yeah! Folks, that's human nature. But let me tell you something, it's wrong. You say, well, I just don't think you should just do something for one kid. You know what? You're wrong. What does the Bible say? Did I have you turn to Matthew?
Yes.
Look at Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? And here's the key, folks. Is thine eye evil because I'm good? Is that what's going on here? Is it because I'm good that your eye is evil toward me? Folks, that's God talking. And let me tell you something. He's right and you're wrong. He says, look, if I want to show grace unto someone, or bestow something extra upon someone, or do something special for someone that I don't do for you, what is that to thee? I can do whatever I want with my own. I can give undeserved money to this 11th hour guy because you got paid everything that was coming to you. And you know what? That means if someone else at work gets a bonus and you don't, it's called a bonus.
Right. Yep.
Can you really get mad at that? If so, you're like these people. You're like the bad guys in the story. Okay. Jesus said, and you know what? That's why you shouldn't worry about what other people at your job are making.
Yeah, that's good.
The only time I ever worried about what the other people in my job were making, I wanted them to be making as much as possible. And you know why? Because I could tell myself, hey, that's where I'm headed in this company.
Right.
It made me nervous when everyone around me is making low. You know, people have been there for 20 years and they're not making any money. You're kind of like, is this going anywhere? But you know what? If you have a thought that's like, well, I hope he's making less, you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes you need to realize that you're not right about everything. And sometimes you need to realize that everything that you feel doesn't need to be validated. Sometimes your feelings are wrong and they need to change.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you're feeling like, well, I don't feel like he should be getting paid that much when I'm only getting paid this much. And it's like you'd be happy if he got reduced and you stayed the same. Why does it even matter?
Right.
All you should care about is what you're making.
Right.
Right? And just worry about yourself. And if you worry about the other guy, it should just be to worry that he's getting enough. And to want him to be blessed and want him to have more. But not to have this attitude that wants other people to be brought down to your level. And envying people who have more than you or excel at things more than you. Look, this can happen to anybody. This attitude of envy where you start wanting other people to fail so that you can feel more successful or good about yourself. It's garbage. It's wicked. And so envy is a major sin. And in this story, they're basically envious because they're looking at the guy who worked 1 hour and got paid the penny and they wish they were him. They're envying him. Instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I was standing out in the Home Depot parking lot this morning. I didn't know if anybody was going to hire me. And somebody hired me. They didn't even ask for my green card or anything. And, you know, I was able to work all day and get paid a day's wages. Thank God I had a job today. Instead of being like, you know, hey, what's going on with this other guy? Why is he getting paid more than me?
Per hour.
That's a wrong attitude, and it's motivated by envy. And envy is wicked. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Despisers of those that are good. Look, do not get angry if somebody's smarter than you. Learn from them, right? Pick their brain. Listen to what they have to say. Learn from them. Don't get angry at somebody who's more athletic than you or better looking than you or better at their job than you. You know, you don't have to be the best whatever you do. You know, let's say you're an electrician. You don't have to be the best electrician on the planet. You're probably not. Because there's only one guy who is that. And you know what? When I was an electrician, I wasn't the best electrician on the planet. And you probably aren't either. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. All that matters is that you do a good job, that you work hard. And you know, you get around some other electrician that's just basically working circles around you. And he's just bending pipe like it's nothing. And he's just outdoing you in every way. You know what you should say? Hey, I like working with this guy. Because I learn from him, because he challenges me, because and not just like, oh yeah, this guy thinks he's really hot stuff. But isn't that human nature?
Yeah.
Don't be a despiser of those that are good on the secular side. But then on the spiritual side, don't despise the one who does more soul winning. Don't despise the one who reads their Bible more. Don't despise the one who prays more. Don't despise those who are good. Don't despise those who are having a higher standard or living a cleaner life. You know what? Just thank God for them and thank God for everything He's given you. And just run your own race. You know, run your own race. Don't try to compete with everybody else. Just compete with yourself and just run your own race. Be happy with what you have and don't despise those who are good. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our church, Lord, and all the blessings. And Lord, help us not to focus on that one bad thing in our life. And help us not to wish ill on other people, just to take them down a notch, Lord. Help us to be happy when other people succeed. And if our brother or our sister or our friend outdoes us in some area, or if our colleague or competitor outdoes us in some way, Lord, help us just rejoice at their successes, learn more, and do better next time. Lord, I pray that every single person that was here would let this message sink down into their ears so that they would not be consumed by envy. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.